First impressions in Wisconsin. That's what's coming up on The Art of Bombing, episode 207.
My friend Dan, he's got a podcast, cause all comics need a podcast, and nobody had a podcast called The Art of Bombing. So Dan went out and bought a tape deck. Who knows why he bought a tape deck? Podcasts don't get played on tape decks, but Dan is from the 80s. So hey there, all you funny jerks, come talk to Dan about your work. Tell him all about your worst times. It's The Art of Bombing.
Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Art of Bombing. I'm Dan Bublitz Jr., your host. It is Tuesday, June 22nd, 2021. I hope everybody had a fantastic week. The episode is coming out a little bit later than it normally does, so I do want to apologize right off the top for that. But I was on the road all weekend doing shows as part of the On the Run comedy tour that I'm doing to get ready for my album recording. Then when I got home yesterday, I had to do another an appearance on another podcast, and by the time I got that done, I was just too tired to do anything with this podcast, so I'm doing it the day of the release as opposed to the day before when I get it ready for the release. So here we are. But it's a great episode because today I'm joined by Trevor Anderson, who is a fantastic comedian based in the Twin Cities, and we had a great conversation, and that's what you got to look forward to. But before we get into the conversation with Trevor, I want to mention a couple things. Snow Jam Comedy Festival has opened submissions. I mentioned it last week. I want to mention it again. If you haven't done so already, go to snowjamcomedyfest.com, hit the submit tab, submit your videos, and get in there. Try to get into that festival. It's always a good time. Most people that do it have given us positive feedback on it. We've got some great announcements coming up with some pretty good headliners for the 2022 Snow Jam Comedy Festival. It's also a fundraiser for Special Olympics. The cool thing is if you get into the festival, granted there's only 30 spots and we get more submissions than there are spots available, so not everybody gets into it. But you got to understand, it's not because, you know, it just don't have the spots for it, so not everybody's going to get in. So that's just a thing that happens. But if you do get in, Snow Jam Comedy Festival takes care of your lodging while you're at the festival within reason. There's some stipulations, such as, you know, if you bring friends and family, they can't be in the room with you or whatever. If you're going to bring your own friends, if you're going to bring friends and family, you got to get your own lodging. But otherwise, we do provide lodging. So go do that. Go submit to Snow Jam Comedy Festival. But if you're waiting to get a good tape, that's fine. You got until November 15th, 2021 to submit to Snow Jam Comedy Festival. So do that up. Another thing I want to talk about is I want to give a shout out to Tyler Walsh, who is a comedian from the Omaha area and Iowa area, that he posted about this, and I didn't know this existed, but he posted about a podcast that was really good for comedians, and that's why I wanted to share it and talk about it on here, because I listened to it over the weekend, and it was great, and it was very insightful, and that's what this podcast is about. It's about getting better as comedians and people, you know, looking at our failures and trying to learn from them. So I wanted to talk about this real quick and just mention it, give it a shout out. But it's Dusty Slays We're Having a Good Time. In season two, he did a 10-part series on how to become a comedian. Now, he did more than 10 parts, but the main bulk of the series was 10 parts. So, season two, We're Having a Good Time. Dusty, who's a great comedian, Dusty Slay, he was also on the Art of Bombing podcast last year, episode 131, if you want to go check that out. And he and his wife, who was also a stand-up comedian, did this 10-part series, and it was great. There was a lot of great insight. He basically took it from deciding to do stand-up comedy all the way up to working your way up to being a headliner, and broke it down with his experience and how he's been doing it, and how it's been working out for him. And he's very successful. He's been on several different late-night TV shows, and he headlines all over the country, and he's a fantastic guy. I don't know if I've had interactions with him online, and he's a very kind person, very nice person. So if you want to get better and get some insight on comedy, go check out his podcast. We're Having a Good Time, season two. Listen to the 10-part series, How to Become a Comedian. And I also say I'm a fan of his podcast anyway. I didn't go back. I started with his latest season. That's why I didn't know that he did this series on becoming a comedian. Because I just started listening to his podcast after he was on my podcast, and I've enjoyed it. Even the new stuff, the newer seasons are great too. He does do some comedy tips once in a while, but it's more just, you know, conversations about his road, you know, work, his doing his gigs and things like that. But either way, it's a great podcast. Go check that out. We're having a good time. So just wanted to do that little shout out. Now that I did some shout outs that aren't a part of my own business, it is time for housekeeping.
It's time for housekeeping.
All right. The first thing I want to talk about is the Dan on the Run comedy tour. I just did 4 shows as part of that tour over this last weekend, and it was a good time. I had so much fun driving all over Kansas. I did a show in Kansas City on Thursday, which was funny because a family walked in right before the show, and all the comics that were on the show, they panicked. But it was a good show. It ended up, you know, they were toddlers that they had, the children that they had with them, so it didn't really matter because they're not going to understand any of the humor, and the adults were fine with any adult humor that we wanted to do. Granted, I didn't worry as much because I'm not always a dirty comedian, so didn't matter to me. But I also want to give a shout out to Josh Shirley, who I think listens to the podcast as well. I've met him online doing some virtual open mics. He did the Munch Mic, but he was on the show and he was fantastic. It was great to meet him in person. That's one of the fun things about comedy. We end up becoming friends with people through social media, and then when we travel, we can actually meet these people in real life and then work with them. And that was something I got to do, which was really cool. And then my buddy Will C was on the show, and he also opened for me most of the rest of the weekend. And then one of the comics that he works with a lot, Jared Langley, was also on the show, and it was fun. It was a good time, and that was at Harley's Hideaway Bar and Grill in, well, it's actually Shawnee, Kansas, but it's basically Kansas City, and it was a good time. Then Saturday, Will and I traveled over to Sousank, Kansas to do a show there, and it was a smaller crowd, but it was part of the Pub and Grub comedy shows, and Will opened for me, but the crowd was amazing. And it was interesting because they were kind of a geeky, nerdy crowd, which is my kind of crowd. I was excited about that because they were, when the audience before the show, I overheard them talking about, you know, Dragon Ball Z and I think Star Trek and all these things that I was just like, yes, this is my crowd. But I was memorized by the fact that I'm in a town of like 34 people, population 34, in the middle of Kansas, rural Kansas. And the geekiest people showed up, which was my demographic. So that was great. So we did that show, had a great time. Then on Saturday, we made our way over to Shinshin, Kansas, where we did a show that's just outside of Hayes, Kansas. And Will C was also, again, featuring for me, opening for me. And we performed at, I should say, real quick, going back to Sousank, shout out to Sousank Tavern for having us. That was a good time. They're the ones that, they were the venue, and it was fun, and we had a good time. But again, now we're over at in Shinshin, which outside of Hayes. We performed at the Getaway Bar and Grill, and that was a good time too. We had quite a few people showed up to that show. I learned a little bit about Hayes. I guess Hayes, Kansas is a in between, it's the middle of Kansas. It's the midway point from the Missouri border to the Colorado border. So it's a very expensive town to stay in because hotels and things like that are pretty expensive. But we, like I said, we had a good show at the Getaway Bar and Grill. People came out. We had fun. And then then on Sunday, I made my way to Lincoln, Nebraska, where I got to perform on Zoolarious, their weekly show that they do every Sunday at the Zoo Bar. Brad Stewart is the producer and host of that show, and he is a fantastic comic. He's been doing comedy for a long time. He's worked with all kinds of people, and he's just a wonderful, beautiful person. So if you're ever in Lincoln on a Sunday and you want to catch a comedy show, go check out that show. They bring in great comics all the time. And David Burge, he featured for me on that show, and he just crushed. I had to work so hard to follow him because he just crushed. So did Brad. It was like just fire all the way through. And then I was like, whew, I'm going to have to put in some work because these guys are making it hard. And it was a good show. And then I came back and I drove back yesterday. So now we're caught up. But now the tour continues this weekend. Dan on the Run is going to Omaha, Nebraska. I will be at the Backline in Omaha, the Backline Comedy Theater. My show's at 10 p.m. You can go. And then on Saturday, I will be at Limestone Brewers in Osage, Iowa. All the details are on my website, so go check that out, danbublitz.com, for all that information. Again, with the podcast, if you haven't done so already, follow us wherever you listen to the podcast. If you're on Spotify, make sure you hit that follow button. And if you listen to it on Spotify, go check out the Art of Bombing playlist that we've got created, the Get Pump Jams, that comedians have been submitting the songs that get them pumped, and we're putting them on that playlist. Then once you follow us wherever you listen to this podcast, make sure you go to the website, artofbombingpod.com. And when you're over at the website, you can buy a hat if you'd like, or you can go to the submit a bomb and submit your own bombing story. Might get read on a future episode of the podcast, or you can call the Bomb Squad hotline and tell us a bombing story that might get played on a future episode of the podcast. I might include it in the monthly newsletter, which that's another thing that you can do at theartofbombingpod.com, is you can subscribe to the monthly newsletter. We got quite a few subscribers now, which is great. Once a month, it's only a once a month email, or a newsletter that I send out. Try to do different things with it. It's still a work in progress. And for the people that have been getting it and reading it, I appreciate the support. And I hope, I'm always open to feedback. If you have feedback that you would like to give on the newsletter, by all means, go to the website and fill out one of the forms and let me know, comment, do the thing. And make sure you rate and review wherever you listen to the podcast. That definitely helps. Give us that 5-star rating and a nice review. That helps us get visibility on the podcast apps. So do that up for us. And lastly, and again, this is the least important thing. That's why I save it for the last. If you do like what I'm doing and you want to throw a tip my way for to help support the show, you can do that by buying me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/dbubcomedy. And again, while I do appreciate that, I'll give you a shout out on the show if you do that, and that's great, but it's the least important. It's the least important way to support the show. The most important way is to follow us wherever you listen to the podcast and share our content. Yes, share this podcast, share your favorite podcast about comedy bombing with all your friends that enjoy comedy bombing. All right. That's enough of the housekeeping and this big long intro. So here is my conversation with the very talented and hilarious Trevor Anderson. Enjoy.
And now it's time for the stand-up soundbite.
We got a basement now. We have a house too. I buried the lead. There's the house on top of the basement. I never had a basement before. My parents did, and they let me use their basement for stuff, but I got my own basement, and I want a basement freezer now, more than ever. I didn't realize that. That's how you know you become an adult, when you get a basement freezer, right? My parents had a basement freezer. Her parents have a basement freezer. A basement freezer. Keep frozen pizzas in it. They don't tell you that in college, that 10 for 10 frozen pizza deal. That's not for college kids. That's for basement freezer people. My roommates and I get home. We're like, we have 50 pizzas. We're trying to jam it in that stupid little freezer on top of the fridge. We're like, we got to eat 48 pizzas right now. Not anymore. I'm an adult. We don't have the basement freezer because my wife says we can't afford it right now. It's not because what she says goes. Okay. Her friends are here. No, it's because a basement freezer is a couple's purchase, right? I need her with me. I can't, as a solo dude, just go scoping out freezers by myself without throwing off some red flags at the Home Depot, right? This is my nicest shirt. I wore it for you people. I can't, I still, some orange vested dude is just sweating. It's like he's been looking at freezers for an hour and a half by himself. That's for heads, right? Rhubarb jam. My parents had rhubarb jam in their freezer. My mom made it all once in 1999. It's probably good. We haven't had any of it. And it's fermented. I don't know. I'll be selling Mary Anderson's vintage reserve rhubarb winesicles after the show.
You were at the House of Comedy last night. How did that go?
Yeah, that was...
Did it go?
It was great, yeah. Oh,
okay. Because I only say that because I know a lot of times some of those Wednesday shows, if they don't get a good turnout, they end up having to cancel them. I mean, that's like every club. But.
Yeah, no, it's tough, but I think we hit that sweet spot of like enough people have got their shots and they're itching to get out and do stuff.
Nice.
And I, you know, it's one of the first sets back for me, really, and it was a headlining one, so I wanted to take it seriously, so I... You know, kind of busted my butt and promoted it, you know, or just like messaged random friends. And it was like a perfect cross section of my Facebook, you know, mm-hmm. it was like two people from high school who for 12, 15 years or whatever, been like, oh, yeah, I want to come see one of your skits. And then they finally, it's like, whoa, you like don't recognize them with the mask on. Then like after they walk away, I'm like, was that Katie? Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah. And then, like, the mom of a girl I played trombone with in a ska band came with her husband and stuff. It was like, it works to just be like, I had all the free time. So I just scrolled down my list of, like, thousands of people I never talked to on Facebook. And I just click invite, and it's like,
come see me do live comedy.
It's sort of like that, a more productive version of, like, those douchey guys like, oh, just to ask out 1,000 chicks, maybe one of them will say yes or whatever. I'm like, hey, if I just ask 1,000 people to show up to a show, maybe.
So did you like actually like message them?
No.
Or did you just invite them to the event?
I invite them to the event, if you know, and then like, because some people said maybe, and then if they would say interested or whatever, then I shoot a message like, hey, I saw you're interested. I really hope to see you. It'd be great. You know, it's going to be a good time.
Look at you. So, that's some good marketing. Wait until they, you know, click on that.
Yeah.
That
well,
interested
if they
button.
Click interested, then I don't feel like I'm harassing them.
No,
it's
for
like,
sure.
You know, yeah.
For sure. Because I've seen that where, like, I don't know if this happens to you, but this happens to me, and sometimes it's kind of annoying. Like, a comic will just, comic that you don't know, you've never worked with, they'll just randomly send you a flyer. And
right.
Message like, hope you see you at the show. It's like, dude, I don't even live in the same town
well,
as you. Why would I be coming to this show?
When I was scrolling down, I was just like, I think these people are still in the Twin Cities. And like, people have, you know, last names changed and whatever, you know. And I'm just like, I don't know who this person is, but maybe they'll buy a ticket. You
yeah,
know?
There you go. Yeah, but that's different. Inviting people to an event is a lot different than directly messaging them. And sending
yeah.
them like a flyer or something like that.
Right.
Especially
you can turn off settings and you can just easily.
Yep.
You should ignore most of Facebook anyway.
Yeah, really. True story. Well, and I don't even know that Facebook's even that good for promoting stuff anymore. Like they're getting worse and worse, I feel like. Like they used to be really good for like the, you know, using them for Facebook events and things like that. But now if you don't boost your event or you don't use their paid services and this and that, like it just seems like they just tuck that stuff away so people can't even see it. Like I'm promoting an event and I've even spent money on it and I don't feel like it's getting any exposure on Facebook right now. I'm just like,
yeah, is that the one we have coming up?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I've seen it. So,
well, that's good. But I think
it's because you tagged me in it too. Maybe
I was gonna say I would hope you've seen it. You're on it. So.
Yeah, and looking good.
You're on the event, so hopefully you've seen it at least. No, but I mean, like from like. You know, just the numbers, because when you host an event or you create an event or whatever, you can see like the engagement numbers and stuff, and mm-hmm. it just doesn't seem like it's getting it. And I feel like a lot of that is because Facebook's getting more and more to, oh, if you don't pay for this, then we're not going to, you know, put you in our algorithm or whatever. Or it could just be people don't want to, they're just like, oh, another event from Dan, whatever.
No, that's true, too.
He's out.
Yeah, I felt like when I was first, like, getting booked on things, I was, I think there was some burnout of people like, okay, dude, I get it, you know.
You do comedy now. Leave me alone.
Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah, it's easy to burn that out. For people to get burned out, I'm sure.
But yeah, with the, you know, surprise year and a half off, you know, I figured why not just, you know.
Oh, for sure. And it got a good turnout. So that's good. That's awesome. Yeah. Who else was on the show with you?
It was Pierre and Daniel Williams.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. They were saying like, wow, everybody here, you know, here for Trevor, because I think they were surprised, you know, they were doing the show, and I made the joke. I was like, yeah, everyone, you know, I mean, I do have black friends. They just happen to be the two comedians on the show, and I just added Pierre on Facebook just now.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Did I get a good laugh?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Are you at the House of Comedy then the whole weekend, or just?
Just the Wednesday. I think the headliner just is doing Thursday through Saturday. I think Mike Brody's doing the Sunday. And
yeah, well, I thought, I don't know. Well, I don't, I'm not familiar with how they do shows there. I just thought that, you know, maybe they had like the Wednesday headliner was the weekend feature.
Yeah.
Because some clubs do that where they're like, they'll, if the comic can't do the full week, they'll have like the opener do the Wednesday if they're local. And then, but I don't know that for sure. That's just,
they're based on
other clubs.
I think they've just been doing like, you know, he reached out a couple weeks ago and asked if I wanted to do it. And I was like, great, let's see if we can scrape together a crew.
Awesome.
And do the show. So yeah, I felt good. That was one of those like, oh, we did it. Cause it would have been kind of, you know, disappointing to know like all these random people were like, we're finally gonna see him, and then they're like, no, we're not doing it. I drove from Wisconsin.
We have a chance to see him, but nah. I'm good. No, that's awesome. Well, good for you. That's great.
Yeah, and it was just good to do the 45 again for the first time in a long time. And
how do you feel about your set?
I felt really good.
That's good.
Yeah, because I was featuring all last week. So I was kind of doing the thing where I, like, swap out, you know, 10 minutes and be like, okay, I didn't do that, so I can do, you know, like, so the timing was good. And then it's easy to, like, not really worry about a set list. Like, this has to go after that. You have these kind of chunks that,
sweet,
I'll do this, and I know that's, like, 5-10 minutes or, you know.
Yep. Having, like, interchangeable pieces that you can swap in and out.
Yeah. I got to get better at segues, though, because, like, you can only do the joke about, like, oh, I'm bad at segues, and then, like, go into the
next,
you know.
You
can't go back to the well every time on that.
I know some comics will try, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, you see that a lot. Comics are like, I don't know, like, with segues, that's, like, one thing, like, yeah. You know, you work on a joke, and you're working on your setup and your punch and maybe a tag. But I don't know. I wonder how much people actually think about the segues. Because I don't. I mean, I don't like, when I'm writing, I'm not like, oh, I need to make sure I can segue into this, or how can I get into this? I might do a thought where, well, how can I lead into this, I guess, which is, I guess, kind of a segue, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's not so much. It's more of a, how can I get on this topic, but it's not based on what I was talking about before. You know what I mean?
Like,
the lead-in isn't, okay, so I'm talking about being married. Now, how do I transition from being married to, you know, whatever the subject might be? It's more of a, okay, well, this is a new joke. How do I talk about this subject? Because, like, an example, I just started working on a thing where I've been thinking about family and stuff, and I'm trying to figure out, I have a weird family where I have my dad, my mom and my dad, and then I have a bunch of step parents. And so I'm working on a bit about having all this or whatever.
Sure.
And so my first thing is, well, how do I lead into this? You know, like, how do I get into talking about this weird family? Cause I wanted to start off with saying something about, well, I had a, you know, strange family, but that doesn't almost seem right either, because I mean, I think everybody thinks they have a strange family, you know what I mean? But it's more about the number
that matters. It's not, are they actually weird? What makes them weird?
Yeah.
No, it's that, you know, I have two real parents and a bunch of step parents.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, and it's easy to overthink it, and, you know, sometimes it just clicks. Like, I have a joke that ends where I'm like, oh, I got to buy that horse a beer. And then I just started writing about, like, craft breweries because I live in Northeast Minneapolis, and every other block there's one. And so I was just like, oh, I can just put that, you know, like, I gotta go buy him a hazy IPA or something. And then just, hey, and go into the crowd and ask, like, oh, who drinks craft beer? Who drinks, mm-hmm. The Swill Miller Lite? You know, I don't know.
Oh, good old beer. The Miller Lite. I love it. That's, it's funny to me because I was thinking about, I want to open a bar at some, not a bar, but I've thought about opening like a tap room and just not have like them kind of beers in it. Like that, like only high craft alcohol will be allowed. Like,
yeah.
to keep out the riffraff.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, then I won't be able to go.
Yeah.
I won't be able to go to my own place.
Or I like the other angle of just like, just PBR and like,
it's
and
like
Red Dogs.
Or that's just it. That's just PBR. That's the only beer you can get. You're like, oh, somebody comes in and they're like, oh, hey, what do you got on tap? PBR. Oh,
yeah.
What else? Oh, just PBR. Oh, okay. Well, what do you have in cans? PBR. Anything else? No, just PBR.
We've got tall boys.
What about bottles? Just PBR.
Yeah. Blue Ribbon.
Did you not see the sign that said Blue Ribbon on the door, the Blue Ribbon bar?
Yeah. But no, that, I don't think that would make it. You got to have, like, the quadruple IPA that, like, gets you tanked. You're like, oh, I know, honey. I only said I was going to have three. But they're, like, 19% alcohol.
Yeah. I was only going to have three. Yeah, yeah. That's true. That's what I like about, I love and hate about craft beer is that the alcohol content is usually pretty strong.
Yeah. So I picked up, like,
good, but also
those,
bad.
Those crowlers of, like, you know, the bigger cans. I picked up a few of those one day, and I was just video gaming, and I drank two of them, and I stood up, and I was like, the room was spinning, and I looked, and I was like, oh, I just had like a bottle of liquor, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if you drank two crowlers, because that's a lot of beer. That's 50 ounces of beer.
Yeah.
And that just shows you how much I know about beer, because I know how many ounces are in a crowler.
And then I spent the rest of the night peeing every 15 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I have a, I don't know if you've been, there's a brewery just like right down the road from me. It's York's Brewery. They claim to be Minnesota's first brewery, or city's first brewery, or maybe it's German. I don't know, but it's a German brewery, and the beer is really good. It's like my favorite place to go. It's like my favorite little spot in the neighborhood. But yeah, and they actually, when I first got here, they didn't do like off sale in the sense where they didn't do crawlers or growlers.
Oh, you could only just get a pint in the tap room.
Yep, you could only drink there. And then after the pandemic, they changed that, and now you can get crowlers, and you can get they sell stuff to go and things like that, which is good for them. I'm glad they adapted,
because that's money on the table, you know.
Well, absolutely. I mean, because there was many times when I'd go in there and I was like, hey, I want to take some of this home, and then I couldn't. I was like, oh, this is sad.
You can only take it home in your belly.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh,
I might as well drink one.
Yeah, I'm here. I just as well, because that's I prefer craft beer, which I shouldn't even be drinking beer, honestly.
Yeah.
It's not very healthy for me, but I'm it's my one vice. That's why I go for walks. So I can drink beer.
Yeah, just breaking even, yeah.
All about the balance. But this podcast isn't a beer podcast, so we probably don't need to talk about craft beer.
Yeah, there's plenty of
brewers.
Those out there.
Yeah, you're right. There probably is. This podcast is about bombing on stage. And I would love for you to tell a story of a time where you felt like you bombed really bad or the show was really bad.
Yeah, so I've thinking about this, and I listened to the pod, and it's a great podcast, by the way.
Thank you.
It's sort of like, these conversations are what we do at bars after shows and we're like, oh, you think that's bad? The guy who books it, you know, like...
becomes a competition.
And we couldn't do that for, like, you know, a year and a half. So it was like hanging out with your friends and, you know, like, I'll it's like, great. I listen to, you know, like, I just finished the one with Miss Shannon on, and that's maybe one of my favorite episodes of any podcast because it's just so authentic and, like... Dominic is like saying mom, you know, the whole time. Yeah.
It's funny because she warned me. She was like, I'm very busy. And
she's the busiest person.
And she is. And I get it. And we did that. Even I was just like, wow. Hats off to you.
I told my wife, I was listening to, and she's like, she can't bomb. Who would not like Miss Shannon, you know? But it's like, you can't. Everyone. Someone told me, the bombing is like playing Russian roulette, and the more you do comedy, they just add more chambers, but there's always still one bullet in, you know? Like, so if you've been doing comedy for 20 years, there's, you know, a very low chance, but
there's
still
always
a bullet.
Yep.
But yeah, so I was thinking about bombing, and I play in a band too, and so I asked the guys in the bands, I was like, can you remember any like bad shows music-wise? Because it's very different, you know, comedy and music. Like, and we thought about some, like, you know, like a Tuesday in Des Moines that didn't get promoted and like three people showed up and we didn't get paid. And we're like, cool, good thing we did this, you know. But there's something different because, like, you're still with your friends.
Yeah.
And we still, like, we could play music to nobody in our garage and have fun.
Yeah.
So then it just turns into, like, well, we drove somewhere and now we're just going to have a...
this is for us.
A drunk, stinky adult hotel sleepover, you know? Like, we'll go to Quick Trip at 4 in the morning.
What do you play in a band?
I play keyboards and sing.
Really?
Yeah.
You're in a band?
Yeah.
Like an active, like, I mean, as active as you can be.
Yeah,
granted,
there's a couple projects. We started in, like, we all met at the U of M, and then we toured pretty extensively throughout our 20s, and now we're like, we're going to do fun things, and like...
yeah.
I got a baby on the way. The bass player and his wife have a baby on the way. Other people getting married. That's what happens. So
absolutely.
We also play in like an Allman Brothers tribute band, which is perfect for like beer tents and stuff like that. Yeah, so that's really fun too. But yeah, it's even if you're bombed, if you have a bad show, you're still hanging with your friends.
Yeah, ultimately you're having a good time.
Yeah.
Having fun. No, I guess I didn't know that about you, that you were in a band. That's awesome.
Thanks. It's fun.
Well, in just playing music. Have you incorporated music into comedy?
Not really.
Or even thought about
it? I thought, like, there's so many people who do it so well.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I just kind of like doing comedy, you know, that the band stuff is fun, but it's
nice to keep them separate.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. No, I can totally see that.
But yeah, that's from that element. There's not really bombing in, you know, if you're having fun, that's fine, but it's harder to have fun when you're by yourself and you drive and this gig is not worth it. And at least with the band, you're done at like 2, so you can just like go to bed right away. But then like if you do a shitty set, you're like, show's done at 10, so you've got the rest of the evening with your thoughts in your hotel room.
Because you can't sleep.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking about how bad that was.
Yeah. I think one of the first times I bombed, which is always a special moment, so early on, I started comedy by doing like the Acme Funniest Person contest. So there's like, you sign up, put the star by your name, guaranteed stage time at a guaranteed great stage.
Mm-hmm.
So the week of your contest, you know, you also get on the open mic night because they want, you know, and then during the contest, you got like 30 of your friends, and you know, like it's during a week on a great stage. So I'm like, these first three sets are wonderful, and I have 3 minutes that I don't need to write any more jokes, you know, and
kind of misleading.
Yeah, well, I knew, I was like, I gotta bomb, you know, to see if this is really worth it. And then, like, it was in college, and some guy, you know, he saw me at an open mic, and he's like, hey, I'm putting together a show, with my band, and I want it to be like kind of it was at some theater. I'm like, yeah. He's like, I'm looking for a comedian to host it and, you know, kind of help, you know, like do some time and introduce. And I'm like, this is great. I'm going to do a theater show, you know, like,
yes.
And, we met and he had like all these flyers. And I'm like, he's like, if you just want to help promote it or whatever. And like promoting it. And like the show comes and six of my friends are there, and that's it. Like, this dude's band and his wife was there. And, like, and I'm like, were you promoting too? Or, like, what's the deal?
Right? Right? Isn't this your show?
And I never even
fans?
Looked up his band before. They're just, like, a dad garage rock band. So, like, he's like, I want to have a theater show. And so he, like, put up the money and then, like, and one of the people that came was a girl that was very interested in me. And at the time, I was just like, oh, cool, she's here, whatever. And then and we did end up dating later, but I can't imagine why, because I did like 15 minutes of just excruciating to no one. You know, like, even my friends are like, eh, but there's only so much you can do. If, like, the cloud of awkwardness is just surrounding this. You can't even, like, I didn't have the muscles to make it a good show. I didn't even have the material, you know. That was another thing that new comics always do for some reason, is like, yeah, I got the time.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
I didn't have 15 minutes.
That's like, that usually, that's when any comic ever says, yeah, I took a gig that they wanted me to do X amount of time, but I had like 5 minutes, you know, it's probably going to lead to a bombing story.
Yeah, yeah. Do the math, man. So
it's a theater show.
Yeah.
How big of a theater?
It wasn't huge. It was on campus. It's now demolished. Oak Street Cinema or something. They would show like films. They wouldn't show movies. They would show films.
Okay, so it was like a movie theater. But still, I mean, even that's got to seat a couple hundred people.
Yeah.
So if there's only six people.
Yeah.
In a venue that seats 200 people, that's awkward.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was, and then like, he like was asking me to do more time, because like he's like, yeah, this is how it's gonna go. Like, you'll do a set, and then we're gonna play like a cartoon. Like, in the old movies, they'd show a cartoon before the thing. So like, we're watching, I bomb, then we watch Bugs Bunny, like, and then he's like, and then during Bugs Bunny, he's like, yeah, can you go up and do like 15, 20 more minutes? And I'm like, okay. And it was just like, every idea I had written down, not a joke, just like, oh, this could be funny. And it's just, it was not good. And I can't believe that I ended up dating that girl afterwards. But actually, the first time my now wife saw me do comedy, I also bombed. So maybe it's charming.
I was going to say, maybe bombing's working for
you. Yeah, it's like that, you know, like lost puppy. Like, why is he here? What is he doing?
So sad for this.
Yeah. No, we were dating, and she's from Eastern Wisconsin, and I was going to do the show in Wausau. It's like a classic hotel bar show, you know, and then meet her parents for the first time. They were going to meet halfway, and then she was going to go spend the week or whatever with her folks. And so that was also awkward. First time I meet them is the day after we obviously slept together in a hotel room. You know? It's like, nice to meet you guys. But yeah, it was a classic hotel bar show, you know, the no MC. The MC was the bartender who, like, spent a lot of time talking up the drink specials. First time I'd heard about a beer bucket special, which I was relieved it was, like, five Coors Light in a bucket with ice.
You must have been pretty young.
Very new to it. And I was like, beer? I thought they were going to pour beer in a bucket, which was not, you know, it's Wisconsin. I'm like,
well, I mean, fair enough. Yeah. In Wisconsin, that could have been what a beer bucket was.
Just slosh it around. Everyone was so drunk. And like, I had these like, just, you know, cute, clever jokes about like, you know, the Ninja Turtles and stuff. And they didn't give a shit about, you know, why it's weird that they wear belts and no pants, you know, like. I'm glad you liked it. They hated it.
Well, I mean, I can appreciate a good Ninja Turtle joke.
But yeah, it was just
a nerdy joke.
Less zero effort to be. He was like pitching the drink specials and like, all right, now here's comedy. And then he like, they didn't say my name, you know, like, so those kinds of things. This is not going
to
be good.
Yeah. And those are always like things that are hard to come back from, too. Like, that intro is so, when it's awkward, it's just hard to come out of that. You know, and that happens a lot, especially at bars, especially with bars that have never really did comedy before.
Right.
And it's like the first time. And like I said, it's either the bartender or the bar owner will go up there, and then they'll either try to be funny because they think they're funny, or they're super nervous and don't even want to be up there. They're
right.
Just like, comedy.
Yeah. The perfect one is like, I think it's down in La Crosse. They have like a radio guy do it. And he's like, not a comedian. I don't want to be a comedian. I'm just here to have a good time, facilitate. So he goes up and he's like, hey guys, you know, does all the announcements. He's like, are you ready for comedy? And then he brings up the feature MC, you know, like, it's like, that's perfect. Mm-hmm. He's not trying to tell jokes and like, they already know him from like the K106 or whatever, and, yeah. You know.
You sure that's not Sauk Rapids? Because they do that there too.
They do that there, but it doesn't go as well.
Okay, because like, I was like, that reminds me of Sauk Rapids.
Yeah.
Because it's usually a radio DJ that kind of hosts that show there.
Yeah, that's true. That's
what I was like, well, hey, that works though, obviously. If different areas do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, even that, even having somebody that, even if they're not a comedian, at least knowing how to like bring somebody up definitely helps.
Right, yeah.
And get the energy set for a comedy show.
Yeah. And I know like a theme for a lot of the people who present their bombing stories here are when they're opening. You know, like, because guess what? You figure out you have those tools that, you know, like utility belt when you're a headliner to just be like, okay, I'm just going to work hard. I have to work for this one, you know. And there's already more trust. They're mm-hmm. like, you know, the first guy, they're like, your name's not on the poster.
Yep.
Why
yep.
are you here? I'm, yep. you know.
They're almost, it's almost, especially in bar settings, it's almost like they half think you're going to fail. They're like, well, obviously you're the opener, so you can't be that good.
Yeah.
You're still earning your grits or whatever you want to, however you want to say that. Yeah.
I got the compliment, hey, yeah, the opener guy was actually good this time, one time. And I was like, oh, so you're just trained to not like us.
I think that's probably true because I've heard that too where I've been at a show and somebody's like, yeah, this whole show was good. The last time I had a comedy show, the opener was terrible. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, well, I'm glad that.
Thanks.
I didn't disappoint.
Yeah, I thought I was good too until you said that backhanded compliment. Yeah.
Now I'm not sure if I should be thankful or upset.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I made the mistake of reading comment cards one time. They're like, you know, you stand by the door and they drop them off. You kind of look in the bucket and I was like, oh, boy.
Really?
Yeah, I don't
like
know why.
Like at a comedy club?
Yeah, it's like it's like the analog version of YouTube comments. It's like, why did I do that?
What was I thinking?
Yeah, what was I going to gain from this? Like, the pretzel bites were better than the opener. Well, they're, you know, good pretzel bites hard to come by, so.
I mean, I don't blame you for saying that. I mean, I think they're good too, but come on.
Yeah. No, it's brutal for, you know, like to learn to host, you mm-hmm. know?
Well, and I think that's an important skill that every comic needs to, like, I think if you want to get good at comedy, I feel like a good way to do that is to be a host.
Yeah.
Know? Because if you can get a crowd going as the host, and even as the host, and a lot of comics forget this because if they don't do very good at the host, you know, if they have a bad set, they're like, well, that sucks and I don't like hosting. It's like, well, you got to remember what your job is. Your job isn't to be the funniest there. Like,
yeah.
Nobody cares what it, for one, people don't care whether the host is that funny or not because they didn't pay to come see the host.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's that. So you already got that going against you. So you got to look, you know, look at it from that perspective. But your job is really just to bring the comics up and keep the show going and keep that energy up.
And if you can land a couple punchlines with your, you know.
Yep, you know. I mean, really, your job is to go up there, do the announcements, try to get the crowd warmed up a little bit. Even if they don't laugh at you, they're going to get warmed up because by the time you're done, whether you do well or not, they're like, okay, it's time for jokes.
Yeah, and get it focused up.
And get it focused, yeah, to get focused on the stage.
I don't like when hosts say, are you ready for your first comedian? If they are a comic, I'm like, give yourself some credit, man. Yep. You know, like, you got to believe in yourself, too, if you're going
to. You know, that's something that I used to say, and a veteran comic pointed that out. They're like, hey, can I give you a tip about hosting? And I was like, yeah, sure, because I'm always open to feedback. And they're like, you're a comic, too. Don't say, are you ready for the first comic?
Yeah, right? when you come out, be like, hey, I'm Dan Bublitz Jr., your host and first comedian tonight.
Yeah,
you know,
or, well, just, he just said, just say you're next comedian.
Yeah,
because you're
true.
A comedian, too.
Yeah.
You know, you got to remember that. And I was like, wow, you're right.
Yeah.
And now, ever since then, like you, that's one of my pet peeves. When there's a comic hosting and they're like, all right, well, you didn't like me or whatever. And then like, let's get ready for your first comic. It's like, no, no, no. You were the first comic.
Yeah. You just didn't do good. No. Yeah. I love those moments where you're like, you know, like the master's like, move the mic stand. Like, yeah. That was one for me. I'm like, oh, yeah, move the mic stand. Don't, like, if, because I take the mic out of the stand.
Yep.
And if it's just standing in front of me for no reason, what's the point? You know, it just looks awkward.
Oh, yeah. I definitely appreciated some of those tips that, you know, that other comics, you know, veteran comics would give, you know, because I used to look down a lot. That was a thing that I would do. Like, I would look down mm-hmm. instead of out into the crowd when I was trying to think of a joke. And, like, another veteran comic pointed that out, and I'm like, oh, and then I started looking at videos, and then that's all I could see is me like looking down, and I'm like, oh my God.
One of the best bits of advice I got was like, if you don't want them to talk to you, don't ask them questions. Cause I would have like the rhetorical questions or, you know, like anybody, you know, and, but not expect them. And then they start chirping up and then it throws me off. And it's like, so like, for that horse joke I talked about earlier, I don't go, who's ridden a horse here before? I go, hey, clap your hands if you've ridden a horse before. So that gets that same, you know, like, energy up and focused on, all right, now we're talking, you know, and then they're mm-hmm. like, okay, I've been, we're connected. I've been on a horse. Let's see what his take is, you know, like.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's a good tip that, like, never left me, you know. So
yeah, no, that is a good tip.
If you ask a question, you can't get mad when they answer.
Yep, and a lot of comics do. They'll ask a question, somebody will answer, and then they'll that was a rhetorical question, and they get all mad or whatever, and it's like, well,
yeah,
they don't know that.
Yeah, yeah, it's all about, you know, kind of maintaining and controlling the relationship between you and the audience, you know.
Yep, yep.
Like the comics who, like, I've never understood the ones who try to punish audiences for not like, it's like, oh, you didn't like that. And then they go into like just dark material. That's like, what are you trying to get out of this? Just ruin everybody's time. Cause you're having a bad time. Like, yeah.
I've definitely been that comic. Not necessarily that I pushed it to go darker, but I've definitely observed them not liking something. And they're like, well, you know, I'd say something like, well, you didn't like that. You're probably not going to like some of this other stuff. Or, you know, whatever, yeah. But like, just like, well, but we're here, and buckle in, because I've got another 25 minutes of this 30 minutes.
I remember with the band, we always play this place in Rochester, Kathy's Pub. The guy who ran sound, like, there's like 8 people who are into live original music. And the rest of the bar is jam packed with people who don't care. They would prefer a jukebox instead of live
or a cover band.
Yeah, so you know we're playing, and then like there is the shining moment of that place is this one guy. He would always come out, and he would jam so hard. He was like you know, he worked like a day job, and he's like, this is my time. And he would like run up to this little step right before the stage and like jump off and do a little spin, and he'd be like, it's go time. And so like that became one of our catchphrases, you know, and then he's like, as the night went on and he got more, I don't know what he's like, if you got time to lean, you got time to clean. He would alternate between those catchphrases. But so we would still play that place and, you know, it paid all right. But like, it's just one of the first times we did 2 1-hour sets and nobody's clapped. Nobody gives a shit, you know,
yep.
And we're like standing out back before the third set. And our drummer was like, hey, guys, let's F them in their a-holes. And it was just so funny. And we were like, yeah, let's just play what we want to play. Who cares, you know? Like, and it was so much more fun when you just, like, release that, you know?
Yeah. Do you – so with your band, did you guys do original music?
Yeah. Okay, and then, so, you know, we do – you know, because that's one of the other big differences is you play 3 hours.
Yeah, no.
Otherwise, and then you split the money – 4 ways, you bring your own equipment. You know, worse than stand-up comedy, but it can be so much fun, you know? Like, it's weird to say, yeah, there's more money in stand-up.
Well, not necessarily more money, less places to split it.
Yeah, but and you know, you do an hour at most, you know, instead of showing up 2 hours early to load in, sound check, and then clean up at the end of the night. And,
yep.
But yeah, it was... I don't know. I forgot what the question was.
Oh, I was just asking about whether you guys did original music.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned that. Because I'm one of them people that when I go out to, if I go to a bar where there's a band, I hope they're playing original music.
Yeah.
Like, I get that people want cover bands, but it's like, ah, these guys just play the same stuff, and I'm sure, you know, there are some cover bands, especially in the Midwest, that's, you know, they don't care. They're just like, yeah, hey, I'm getting paid to be a rock star. I mean, I'm not a rock star because I'm playing somebody else's music, but I'm a star. That's what they feel like or whatever. But then I'm like, there's so many other bands that are, it's like stand-up,
mm-hmm,
where you do all these lousy road gigs because you're trying to get better and you know it's part of what you have to do. And I'm sure that's with like bands that try to do original music. They do these shitty bar gigs where they have to do covers all night, just because it's giving them time on stage. They can, mm-hmm, throw in an original here and there to, you know, do their thing and then hopefully maybe gain some fans or whatever. So it's like part of the process too.
Yeah.
But you know deep down inside they're artists and they're like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah. That's why I kind of like with the Allman Brothers thing we do. It's just fun. You know, we know what we're doing getting into it.
Yep.
And, but they jam. They, so, you know, on some of these 18-minute songs in the key of A that they would do, like, we get to scratch that original itch because it's like, well, we're not going to transcribe what they did in 1970, whatever. Like, so we're making it up too. So we're improvising stuff. And one time we were playing a show in Winona and a guy was very drunk and he was like, play some Journey. I'm like, that's not how this band works. Like, so that he like rested his head on the table and just flipped us off with both hands for like the rest of our set.
That's hilarious.
It's like, we'll put Journey on the second we're done. We'll put it right on the jukebox, you know?
But
like,
that's not what this is about.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's great. Oh, man. Good times. Good times at shows like that. I'm glad to see that there are the same kind of people going to music as comedy, where they're like, they expect one thing and that's it.
Yeah, yeah. Or like, they'll be like, with our other band, you know, do you guys know any country songs? I'm like, no, we don't. Like, sorry.
So when you play with your other band, or when you play with your band and you're doing a show, what's the percentage of covers versus originals?
It kind
of
depends.
Or, I mean, I suppose it depends on the show. Like, if you're getting billed as your band on a show where it's original music, that's one thing.
But yeah, like, or like a festival. Like, we would typically maybe do one cover that's like an interesting one, not like...
Yeah.
We wouldn't just do like a Beatles song for the sake of doing it, you know?
Oh, for sure. But like at a bar show, if you were doing... Like I said, I don't know.
It was probably about like 50-50 of like a three-set night, like 1 hour each set. So like 3 hours of music, we'd probably divvy it up. And
oh, so you do like half and half, half original, half. Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I've been to shows where it seems like the bands, they do like maybe one or two of their originals
per
hour versus, you know, and it's like, oh, that was good. Why aren't you playing more of your music?
Yeah, we would do...
And maybe I'm just assuming they have more. Maybe that's all they have, too. I'm putting a lot of assumptions about an area of entertainment that I really don't know about.
Yeah.
Other than being an audience member.
Yeah. Well, that's with comedy, too. You know, you don't know how many jokes they have and, like...
Yeah, this is true. Well, that's what's, especially when you get into the producing side of comedy, that's where it's like, you're really fearful, you know, because you don't know how many like you hit somebody up and, you know, I suppose it goes down to, and this is why I've had people reach out to me and ask me for, you know, different advice and different things and videos or whatever. I'm like, well, you got to make sure you have a video. If you can say you can feature, you need to have a feature video.
Yeah.
Not necessarily posted or put out wherever, but you need to have it ready. So when you reach out to somebody and you say, hey, here's my video, and you send them that 5-minute sample, and they're like, oh, that was really good. Can you do 30 minutes?
Yeah.
And then you say, yeah. And then they say, well, prove it.
Yeah. Like, here's 30 minutes. You don't have to watch it all, but it's on tape.
Yeah,
you
know, that way they can. And well, evidence. And that's typically what they'll do. They may not even watch it. They're just going to be like, oh, they might watch the first few minutes and then watch maybe skip around a little bit and then watch the end just to make sure you can actually, you know, do the time.
Yeah.
You know, even now I like was reaching out to a venue about doing a show and they asked me if I want, you know, what I wasn't looking to do, either feature or headline. And I was like, well, I prefer to headline, but I'm not opposed to featuring. And they're like, well, do you have a headlining set? Because they didn't, it wasn't in my EPK. And I was like, well, I don't actually have one in the EPK, but I'll upload one. So then I uploaded one, and then I got the gig. So
yeah,
it worked out.
Yeah, and I'm the same way. It's like, if you want me to, you know, MC for a week before you touch me, you know, you got to jump through hoops.
Whatever
the club wants or the venue wants, you know.
But it's good to be prepared. That's what I'm
very good
at.
Point.
There's so many comics that aren't prepared for that. They're just like, yeah, I can do it, and then... And, you know, then they ask for the receipts, you know, as the young people will say, you got to check them receipts.
Yeah. Yep. Young people always checking receipts.
I don't know if I've ever sounded more old than I did right then. As them young people say, you got to check them receipts.
You youngsters always proving your purchases.
Okay, boomers, shut up. Oh, good times. Good times. The bumming of bombing, the dreadful feeling you get after you bomb or have a bad set. How long does that typically last for you? How does it affect you? And how has it kind of changed over the years?
Yeah, dead airspace is great for podcasts. No, it's definitely changed over the years. Like, I used to get so in my head if I had a bad open mic set. Because here I am, like, I'm thinking, this is potential. And then, you know, like, you go to a mic, nobody's paying attention. It's mostly comics either out smoking or looking at their own notebooks. And it's like, why would I expect it to get anything? Like,
it's funny that you're talking about this because, you know, when you got here, I told you I was learning to master stand-up as a joke because I'm reading a book. And I just was reading a book. The section I was reading about just before you got here, they were actually talking about where to go test material. And that was something they said is like open mics typically aren't necessarily a good way to gauge.
It kills
material,
my momentum. I'm
but
like,
it doesn't because a lot of times an open mic is just comics waiting to go up and they're reviewing their own notes and not even paying attention. And then even if you do get their attention and get them to laugh, it's probably not a good gauge on the jokes because they're not a regular audience.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I get more of a barometer from, like, kind of working things into just conversations with my friends or my family, you know, and, like, that's kind of cheap. Or, like, sometimes we'll just, like, my family, we're very fun, funny people, and, like, sometimes we'll just be having a conversation. I'm like, this is funny. I'm going to steal this.
Are you sure you didn't read this book? Because that was one of the places he suggested to test material. Was
Dan,
just
I wrote the book.
No. You are the writer. Oh, you've got a pen name. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, now it can be...
A nom de plume, as the youngsters say.
Well, if you're the master, I am now the student.
No, I think, you know...
Lead the way.
I've honestly gotten, you know, some jokes out of, like, Facebook posts or things like that where I'm like, wow... 50 people thumbs up it, you know, like if they were in a crowd, they might laugh at it, you know?
Yep. So it's worth checking out.
You know, you don't have the cute pictures of your cat attached to the statement in the club, so that might affect the...
that's true. Having the photo evidence with, or whatever it is, I don't know what the word I'm trying to use. The enhancement. There you go.
Well, that's the memes are killing stand-up, man. They're so perfect. It's funny. It's a visual. It's, you know, and like nobody gets credit for it and it just gets passed around.
I know.
You know, like,
that's the worst.
A million people will laugh at this thing and nobody knows what you did. You know?
Yeah. Well, and a lot of times, a lot of these memes were jokes that people told. Too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the other thing.
I remember, you know, back when we're trying to scrape together anything to write about, you know. I was thinking about doing this joke about, like, the toilet paper math. And then, like, the next day something posted. I'm like, well, all right, they already did all the work. This is perfectly hilarious. I'm just not even going to try. You know, like the super mega roll is equal to 18 regular. But, yeah, it's okay. I mean, it's not killing stand-up. It's just – it's a
– definitely not – it's definitely not helping stand-up. That's for sure.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, for, like, the bombing, it's just – adjusting my expectation of what I was going to get out of that set. Or like a road gig that maybe isn't set up well for comedy. It's like I'm able to now talk myself out of the bombing, bummed out, you know, like, well, that was okay for what it was, you know, like, and you just learn from it, you know, like figure out, okay, I lost them on this. Like maybe I don't do my joke about cereal. Mm-hmm. And if it's an all adult crowd that would prefer more, you know, like, I don't know. It's
well, that's a good lead into what you try to do to kind of analyze a bad set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of, you know, typically I'll do like, I know what I'm going to start and end with, and then just kind of have those like chunks of things that I can kind of pick and choose and then see where I'm at on time, and then like know that the ending's going to be about 5 minutes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, analyzing it is just, yeah, kind of, I record them on my phone and I've been forcing myself to listen back to them. That's so people hate that, you know, like, and yeah, just trying to pick out like, okay, that I thought that was funny, but like I said it wrong, or, you know, like, I don't know, just garbled the logic on the bit so that you need to clear it up more, you know, mm-hmm. like trim some fat from it to make it more of a succinct thing.
Yep. That's, I'm bad at that.
Me too.
Not just trimming the fat. I'm very wordy. There's that. But also sometimes I like stumble on words. I don't know what happens. Like if it's almost like I'm having a stroke on stage and I just start like stumbling over words and it's just like, what the
yeah.
was that?
Yeah. Why did I say it like that?
What
I've
happened?
Never put those words in that order before.
I've said this joke like 500 times. Why did it come out that way this time?
Yeah. And to be honest, there's a point where it's not really even worth analyzing sometimes, where
yeah.
you're just like, that happened, you know, just focus on the next thing.
It's like, yeah, I got to work on maybe talking slower because I tripped over words.
Yeah, that's one. Yeah, using the silence is something that I'm trying to get better at, which is scary, you know, to like, you know, you want to like keep focusing on me, keep looking at me, yep. you know, like listen to what I'm saying. So like if you stop to take a drink and it's silent, it's so uncomfortable for me, you know, probably for the crowd, but just like learning to embrace that and then, you know, just trust that you can maintain their
mm-hmm.
their silence. I yep. went to school for music education and never used it really outside of student teaching. They put it at the end so you realize it's not for you after you've gotten a 4-year degree.
The teaching part comes after you've did all the studying.
I love kids. It's just not, you know, it wasn't, I was getting paid to do music and comedy. And I'm like, if I don't try to do this now, I'm 22 or whatever, I'm never going to do it. So
yeah, yep.
supplement with bartending gigs and stuff and a very supportive wife. And so I don't think teachers, that's a hard job. But I remember them saying, you know, like, sometimes it's more effective to control your classroom if you don't say anything. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, why is the teacher quiet? Why have they been quiet for a long time? What are we doing? You know, like, so.
Yep. There was a comic when I lived in San Diego. His name was Joe Charles, and he was a fantastic comic. And he talked about this a little bit, you know, embracing the silence. And because I was opening for him at a club, and he was like a master of this. Like his timing was just amazing to watch. Like he knew right even when there wasn't supposed to be laughter. Like he would do a joke and then get a laugh and then maybe say something that wasn't funny or whatever it might have been. You know, it's been a while since I've seen him do comedy. So, but then he would just let the silence go.
Mm-hmm.
He would, and it was a way that he would build up tension. He would just like sit there and embrace that silence.
Yeah.
And then say something really funny and then get an even bigger laugh because of the tension from the silence.
Yeah. But yeah, this, I was just listening back to one of my sets and adding a beat really helped. You know, it was a bit about, you know, going to the dentist for the first time in a long time and they ask you all these gotcha questions like, who is your previous dentist? Mm-hmm. And then like, you know, like, I just paused. I used to be like, I don't know. I think his name was Rick. And, you know, like it was so long. But then I'm like, you know, I add in that like I'm thinking and they'll laugh in the silence and then laugh at Rick, you know. So
yep.
that's double laughs, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. Getting more laughs per minute, which is always a good thing. So when you tell a joke that bombs on stage or you're having a set and you're starting to feel like you're bombing, what is the first thing that goes through your mind?
A lot of times I'll start thinking of what I can do next, you know, like lining up that next and like, this one's lost. You know, I rarely try to fix it. Like a lot of my bits, they're actually like three or four jokes on a thing that are kind of a chunk. So I'll be like, okay, they don't want to hear about this, you know?
I like that, though. You're just like, oh, wow, my first thought is it's gone. I'm never going to do that joke again.
just in the moment. Like,
I'm not going to work on this. This is done.
But, like, I've already been talking about this subject for 4 minutes, and they aren't digging it. They're probably not going to like the next 4 minutes I have on it. So, like, move along, you know?
Yeah, yep. That's funny. I like the idea, though, for some reason. I can just see you're like, you're up there, you go to tell a joke, nobody laughs, you're like, well, this joke's done. Just in your head, you're just like, never telling this.
Yeah.
Never gonna work on this joke again. I'm done. Yeah. Done with comedy altogether. All right, now that we've talked about all the deep comedy stuff, I like to go out kind of on a fun note. So, first thing, we have the Art of Bombing playlist on Spotify. The Get Pumped, it's Get Pumped for comedy or get just whatever it is. What's a song that pumps you up?
I came prepared with this.
Oh.
I was hoping you'd ask it. I use it if I can choose walk-up music.
Oh, okay.
It's Kitty by Presidents of the United States of America. Because it starts off with this just guitar riff that's like kind of, you know, it's not like guitar solo-y. It's just like a kind of garage rock. And it does it like three times. And it's a perfect amount of time to like walk up. And then it's a perfect cutoff because there's like a beat after it. I like the song. And
yeah, that's great.
And if they let it go too long, it's like. And then the first lyrics are meow, 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 meow. And then it's like, well, that's, you know,
people are like, what's going on? Oh, I love it. I'm a fan of the Presidents of the United States. I like a lot of their songs. It was fun. Funny to me. I don't know if it's funny to other people. It was also kind of disappointing. Not too long ago, I just learned that my fiance had no idea who they were.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we went to high school together. Like, we had some of the same friends. How do you not know them?
my wife and I have very opposite music tastes.
I'm like,
and that's, yeah.
I was just like, where were you in the 90s? They were huge.
Yeah. Peaches? Nothing?
Yeah,
like,
no,
even
I was
that
like,
one?
Peaches? I was like, because that's the thing. I would sing that. I don't know. I'm one of them people that I'm not really a musician. I'm not, you know, I like music, but I'm terrible at singing and all that stuff. But I'll just randomly, lyrics will pop in my head, and I'll just start singing. And that was one of them times where I'm just like, all of a sudden, I'm like, peaches come from a tree. Like, I just go into this song, and she's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't know this song?
Yeah.
Like, how do you not know them?
It was all over.
They got, like, all kinds of different songs, and then I started playing some other songs. She's like, no clue. And I'm like, and then, fast forward a couple months later, she's listening to Pandora, and suddenly one of their songs comes on. So now it's in her mix.
There we go.
It's in her shuffle.
Yeah.
So I'm the one that came out victorious on that one.
Yeah, that's funny.
Got to introduce her to a band that I liked when I was a kid that she should have knew because she was a kid the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, good times. What's a favorite gig that you've done, or one of your favorite gigs or best gigs that you've done?
You know, I want to say last night at the House of Comedy, just like in it was a victory because, like you said, you kind of have to promote it and make sure the show happens in the first place.
Yep.
So I didn't let down, you know, the club. Like, it's the first time I've worked there in a long time.
That's always disappointing when that happens.
Yeah, and like, you know, the servers made some money that night, you know. They didn't disappoint the people that were like, I'm finally going to go see Trevor, you know. And it was great. All the comics did great, and I felt really good about my set. And, you know, instantly this morning I'm like, I got to start writing more stuff, you know. Because, like, it was the first time just in recent memory that I felt like that's a headline. That's my headlining set, you know, like all these things I've pieced together, you know, emceeing and featuring. And it's like, okay, now I want to shelve that and try, you know,
Work on some new stuff.
Because previously I don't really have any desire to record an album or anything, and that might change, but like, I've just kind of swapped out 5 minutes as I've gone through comedy life. And it makes me feel like I haven't written anything new, but then like my parents came to see me one time and they're like, I haven't heard any of that stuff. And I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That feels good. You know, like,
yeah. No, I totally get that. Cause I'm going to record an album and then I plan to scrap that material. Cause there's some jokes that I've been doing. I'll admit that I've been doing for a long time.
Absolutely. Like, same here.
I wrote them early on in comedy, but they're a good joke and they still get good laughs now. So I'm like, yeah. Well, but
and you travel so much with your stuff. It's like the people in Illinois have never heard this before.
Exactly.
You know, if you're working local clubs and stuff, people are going to start to be like, why are, you know, I saw you open last time and it was the same thing, you know,
Which is good. Cause when I'm opening, which is fine. Cause when I'm opening, I have, you know, because I can headline too, I have plenty of material where I was like, oh, if I'm only doing 15 minutes, I don't have to do the same 15 minutes, you know?
Right.
I mean, probably we'll do the 15 that I think is the best, but even that I try to sprinkle in stuff that I'm working on, you know,
yeah,
or whatever.
Like,
but
there was a time on a two-show night where someone was a big fan of the headliner. And they're like, yeah, I'm coming to the second show too. And the headliner was like, okay. And like, I was like, I'm going to try to do as much new stuff the second show that I didn't do, you know? And that was just a little challenge I gave myself.
Yeah.
I think it's always good to have a goal anytime you get on stage.
I agree with that.
However small it might be, you know, like, don't look down at all, or, you know, like, close with something brand new. Like,
yep. Well, I wouldn't close with something brand new. That's one goal I wouldn't try.
I did it a couple months ago, and I can't believe it worked. But again, I was featuring, so it's like, whatever.
Yeah, I'm
the middle guy. No one cares. No one came to see me.
That's fair.
They're going to have a good headliner, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, they're going to forget about me here in a few minutes anyway. It's all good. It's all good. All right. The final thing I like to do is called pick a number. You're going to pick a number between 1 and 20. I'm going to ask you a corresponding question that may or may not be related to comedy.
Let's go with 5.
5. All right.
Should I pick a different number?
Oh, I'll let you decide. It's just funny. I forgot this question's on here, but 5 is how did you start? How did comedy start for you? It was funny to me because it was actually comedy. I'm like, do the big long spiel.
Yeah.
It may not be about comedy. And then it was about comedy.
Yeah. Well, comedy, I guess, yeah, it started. I grew up in a small town in Wisconsin and just grew up on Comedy Central. Like, I'd always watch the premium blends, the, you know, like the 30-minute specials and stuff like that. And I just loved it. They were, you know, Friday nights, most of the kids in my class were out drinking in barns and stuff. And I was just like in my basement watching the Friday night stand-up stuff that they had. And like I said, my family's funny. My, you know, dad always had Steve Martin or Monty Python stuff, you know? So like, and you know, there was a time where they like, oh, you can't watch The Simpsons, you know, because that's when all the parents were saying that. And then my dad watched it and he's like, this is a really funny show. Like,
this is great.
It's not bad, you know. Like,
I remember watching The Simpsons, like trying to watch The Simpsons on the Tracy Ullman show. I remember when channels would come in like all scrambled or whatever. And
yeah,
I remember
that's not what I was trying to watch on those scrambled channels.
Well, well, see, it just goes to show you what kind of a nerd I am.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I can. This is a Tracy Ullman show, and they're playing The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I'm like watching The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I'm trying to.
Yeah.
So nobody, anybody that hears that now is like, no surprise he turned out the way he did.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I always liked those things and I wanted to do stand up. And like in school, I was in the plays and stuff like that. So I was pretty comfortable performing and stuff. And just in college, I'm like, oh, I live in Minneapolis now. I could potentially do this, you know? And a friend of mine did the Acme open mic. And like I mentioned, you put a star by your name and they put you up if it's your first time
at the club.
Yeah. And so, you know, he did it and he did great. You know, he was funny. He's a funny dude. And I was like, that's been my goal. And he did it before, you know, like it was just like, I'm going to do it now. So I was talking to him and he's like, yeah, let's both go down and sign up. And so I put my star and then like, he didn't get on and he was like mad at, you know, it was just like, what? I don't get on again. And I was like, I didn't know that either. You learn a lot. And I was
Oh
man, should I have like 15, 20 minutes ready? And it's like, no. You should not. You should have 3, and don't you dare go over 3,
yes,
you know?
Yep.
All that stuff you just learn on the way, you know, it's like, why would I even think I would need 20 minutes, you know? Like,
but you don't, well, you know why you,
you don't know
that.
There's because, 300 open micers in the scene.
Well,
you
it's
know?
Also because your only perception of stand-up is probably what you saw on Comedy Central.
Absolutely,
so.
Yeah.
Every comic's doing, you know, 30-minute shows or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was kind of the start. And then, like I said, had very good experiences with it, and I intentionally went out to like Grumpy's open mic and bombed, and like I was like, I gotta see if I actually like all of this, you know,
all the aspects of comedy.
Yeah, yeah, you can't just live in fantasy land. You gotta bomb.
And I mean, there's some people that wish they could live in fantasy land.
Right,
some
yeah.
of them do, but we that's a whole nother podcast.
I opened for a guy one time, and I was like, he said something about, oh yeah, I was doing a show with like a very big name, you know, and I was like, oh wow, how'd you open for them, you know, like, and he was just like, oh no, I've never opened for anyone, I've never MC'd. Like, okay, straight to headliner, like, what are you getting out of lying to me? Like,
right?
That cannot be true.
Like, yeah, it's like, how did you
why
start?
Are you trying to impress a 24-year-old that like drove 3 hours to do this gig? Like,
and then you gotta, it's also like, it's like, wait, if you went straight to headlining, then why are you driving to the middle
yeah.
of nowhere to headline this show?
Yeah.
How come you're not a famous comic?
Yeah.
Well, this has been great. Where can people find you?
Let's see. Yeah, you can. I'm trying to get better at Instagram because I think, like we
yep.
said earlier, like Facebook is kind of becoming like just a place for ants to hang out.
Yeah, it's pretty,
and,
very toxic.
So, yeah, I'm CH4 Anderson, which CH4 kind of sounds like Trevor. If you, like the CH is a ch and then a 4. It's
very
dumb, but it was like one of those things that I had from like a high school like World of Warcraft login or whatever.
You know what's funny to me though about that? You know what I got when you said CH4 Anderson?
What's that?
Channel 4.
Yeah,
that's what I got out
so
of
yeah,
Channel
I maybe need
4.
To fix that, but
Channel 4 Anderson.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know, to find me around.
There we go. All right, well, thanks for doing this. It's been
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
This has been brought to you by Dead and Mellow. Follow us on all your social media platforms and shop around at deadandmellow.com to see all of our stand-up, music, and podcast releases. Thank you, and God bless America.
All right, see you later.
See you.
Are we actually leaving or just it?
The Art of Bombing is a Blitzed Entertainment production, hosted and produced by me, Dan Bublitz Jr. The stand-up spotlight bumper was produced by Joe Nicola Music. The Art of Bombing theme music was written and performed by John Holt. All other music was used under Creative Commons licensing. All stand-up audio clips were used with permission from the comedians. You can help the podcast by subscribing, leaving a 5-star rating, and a review. For previous episodes, merch, blogs, and more, please visit theartofbombingpod.com. And remember, stay safe so you can live to love.